Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. And we want to welcome you to a special edition of The Catholic Doctors Show as you're heading away from your conferences. This show is about the March for Life, and I'm here in studio with Dr. Will Turek. Will, how are you?
I feel like I've been here before.
I think, you know, it looks familiar.
It's like Vuja Day.
It is.
I've sat here across this table with you and your gray hair and your full head of hair, and your smiling countenance, and I feel like I've been here before.
Well, it's good to see you again too, Will, and it's good to be back here at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio.
Indeed.
To talk about medical matters and how they affect our Catholic faith, but also to give a recap of our experience at this year's March for Life. You and I had been wanting for years to take the show on the road to go down to the March for Life. And for some reason, we just never were able to do it until now. But the stars aligned, and this year, you and I were able to go down.
Flew down Thursday
to the March
night.
For Life.
Yep. Yeah.
And,
got a cheap ticket.
Got cheap
good
tickets.
Good job.
Got a nice hotel. Screwed up our bus, our train rides, but that's okay.
That was a challenge. That was a real challenge.
You know, it was a challenge getting around, but it was a great experience. And our show today is just to kind of walk you through our experience, talk about what it was like to be down there at the March for Life. We were able to meet up with a lot of groups from the Central Ohio area, and we have interviews with those various groups, and just kind of let you know what the spirit and the vibe was like of being in Washington, D.C.
It's the best one ever. This is the best one ever. I've been to probably a half a dozen of them, and it was amazing. I mean, there were probably, at least some estimates said, I've heard Teresa Tamio say, and I'd give EWTN, 800,000 to a million people, and I would say every bit of that was there.
Yeah, I'd probably say I've heard anywhere from 650 up to 850. You know, it's hard to decide the numbers, and I don't know that we'll ever have an accurate account of numbers for several reasons. One, they're not allowed to count.
Not allowed to count. Parks
to count,
people
but,
can't count that high.
The coverage has never been really that good, but I think, you know, the day started out, you and I got up pretty early, had some breakfast, and then got on the metro and went down to Constitution Hall.
Yeah, because that was where the Priest for Life and Father Frank Pavone and Father Steve Imbarato and all these good people were having Mass, and that was where we were set to meet the folks from, I believe it was
St. John Newman.
St. Luke's. So the St. Luke's folks were going to be down there, but we never found them. So if from St. Luke's, if you didn't make it to Columbus, you didn't make it back, we hope you'll find your way.
Well, I'm sure they made it back.
You think so?
Well, wasn't the station manager with that group?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I did receive a text from Bill Messerly, our executive director, who was on that thing, and he says, "Where are you?"
Right.
And I never got another text after.
It was difficult. The crowd was so large this year that even if you were standing, you and I stood inside the turnstiles to get into the rally area, and it was hard to see anybody.
Yeah.
We did serendipitously run into people and I told you
that's how we're going to meet people, is we're just going to run into them, you know, out of the blue.
But at Constitution Hall, we did run into Alveda King briefly.
She
was running in to be part of the show.
She pushed us out of the way
to get to Mass and do those types of things.
Yeah. Well, that was our first brush with greatness.
Yeah.
You know, and we reminded her that she was a guest on the Catholic Doctor Show, and she conveniently forgot that fact.
Yeah.
So,
One, she'd never met us, and two,
yeah,
it's just the Catholic Doctor.
We're forgettable, so that's okay. That's okay. We didn't take it personally. Didn't hurt us.
At least I didn't.
Well, maybe I felt a little, you know, upset about it, but that's okay. I mean, she was there, and so we proceeded in, and the fact of the matter is everything because of the security, because of Vice President Pence, was on high alert. So they were checking bags. They were checking. They were looking you over real close. And so everything was. We were late for the Mass because of all the security.
Right. It was rather interesting. You could sense there was a new vibe this year. The weather was great.
Oh yeah.
You know, it was a beautiful day. It was warm. It was
balmy.
In the mid 40s. Even in the morning, it wasn't that cold.
Mm-mm.
And so it brought a lot of people down to the rally. And it's always interesting to see the various hats.
And the
march stood in stark contrast to several other events that had preceded it. So we had the inauguration a little over a week before,
which they had still had all the canopy and all the stuff in front of the Capitol building there when we came.
And then the following Monday, I believe it was, they had the women's or Sunday, or they had the women's march.
Right.
For the next day, they had the women's march there.
Correct.
And they left their message all over Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah. There were stickers and on poles and everything like that that were – you actually took a picture of one of those, didn't you?
Well, we did have a chance to do a lot of tweeting while we were down there, so to speak. We resurrected the Twitter handle for the Catholic Doctors. And one of the pictures I posted was a sign that was plastered to anything metallic that was there because it's hard to get off, was that abortion is more popular than Donald Trump.
Yeah, well.
And my tweet was, not today. it was good to see. But the you and I both remarked that you could just sense it in the air that there was a new vibe.
Oh yeah, it was so different because in past years, you know, that I have been, there was either George Walker Bush in the White House or there was Barack Obama, and you know, we knew that in we had an ally, but you know, and he sent emissaries and messages and things like that, but he never appeared there. He didn't send his vice president there. It wasn't that wasn't something that he was going to step out and do. Of course, Obama would never have done that. So that was, we were the opposition, you know, when we came into town. And so we were always kind of feeling like, you know, nobody was really paying attention to us. The media really didn't pay attention to us previous to this march. And this march really opened up some avenues. C-SPAN covered it. We walked right past their truck. There were we got our media passes just by blind dumb luck because there was a NBC affiliate that was walking by and we're like, where'd you get those media passes from? And they're like, over there.
I think we actually got lucky because when I asked for our media passes, we'd actually been crossed off. but the guy gave them to us anyway.
We had.
So we still had to go through the security and we went back and got our media passes. We went into the media tent. We could not get into the VIP tent though.
Yeah, that was.
But
that wasn't for
you
us.
Know, it was fun. But you know it, and I also think it was about the previous 8 years, the pro-life movement had just been having to fight such an uphill and strenuous battle just to maintain position.
Yeah.
You know, we had wins on state levels and at local levels, but what you were seeing in the media, what was coming out of the White House and what was coming from other people in the government was this assault on life.
Yeah.
And probably the biggest comment or the most frequent comment or the greatest sentiment was there was like, it's our time.
We got it. We have a chance. We have our opening. The door's ajar. You can walk right through. You know, when and I don't want to, you know, jump too far ahead, but the thing of it is that in the buildup of this, we saw the security. There was never security with the March for Life. There was never, you know, dogs that were smelling things and you know, social or selective, you know, the security that was there was heightened because we knew that the government was paying attention to this.
Right. And I think it's the first time I ever saw a dog run away from a person when they smelled your bag.
Well, my bag is rather smelly, that's for sure. So,
but you know that you did. You had the rally was moved a little bit differently this year. It was not on the mall. It was more over towards
over by the Washington Monument.
Washington Monument, and kind of, you know, interestingly, right in front of the African American Museum.
Right.
You know,
right. Very true.
And so. It was a great, actually, I thought it was a great place for the rally. So you and I got down there early. We did get our press passes. We were able to walk back behind and just get a view of the scene. And
we felt like we were in the media, didn't we?
But, you know, it was funny. Everyone asked, every company had to ask us, well, what media are you from?
Where are you from?
Are you one of the mainstream media or where are you from? I said, well, we're from St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. And it was like,
Oh, well, you're one of us.
You're one of us. You
know? Like, no, I'm with NBC. That's right, know? New York.
That's what we should have said.
Very funny.
I don't think the Catholic doctors could lie that we're from a different station.
No, no.
They'd get away with it. But people were glad to see the media. And one of the first groups we ran into while we were down there was a group of people from St. John Newman Church in Sunbury, Ohio.
Yeah, it was amazing because EWTN had this massive, area where that was roped off that they had their cameras pointed directly at the stage. And so there was a fence around it of sorts, and the St. John Newman people were like parked at 9 o'clock in the morning right in front of there. So it was like the stage is like 100 feet in front of them. So they were ready to go. They weren't missing anything.
They came with a crowd of about 55 people,
mm-hmm.
mostly kids with the adult supervisors.
Yeah.
And, one of the families that was there, it was kind of nice for me. I the other's family that was there, I delivered their three kids, and they were down there with them. And
yeah,
you
that
know,
was pretty remarkable.
That was the other thing. And we have clips that we'll share with you in just a few minutes from St. John Newman. But we also have clips from some other people we met that we're going to add into the show. That they wanted their children there to see what it meant to stand for something and to stand up for life and to march in support of a viewpoint that may not be so popular amongst their peers.
Yeah, I think that was, that's been the reason why a lot of people bring their younger kids. I mean, obviously, when you go through the march, there's the graphic images, Mark Harrington and Created Equal were out there in force and so forth. But really what I think most people brought their kids to see was the youthfulness of the pro-life movement.
Right.
The 25-year-olds in habits, the jubilation. I mean, what I found amazing was the rappers that opened up the march. When they got ready for the rally, they brought a team of rappers out there, Christian rappers.
It was kind of like hip hop rap, whatever.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh, it was
they had the place rocking.
It was amazing. It was like a mosh pit right in front of the stage that was just went on for seemed like forever. I mean, and so every kid in the place was jumping up and down. Every old person was tapping their toes.
Come on, you were getting into it.
I can't dance, but
you were bouncing your hair.
I was. I don't have any hair, Mike.
Well, your hat.
I was bouncing my hat because I did have a hat.
But so let's listen to a few of the interviews that we had with St. John Newman right now.
You bet.
So we have some people here. Tell us your name and tell us what you're excited about this year for the March for Life.
I'm Grace Hofer, and I'm just really excited to see if this impacts anyone, and hopefully it'll reach the news this year, and maybe we can abolish abortion.
Hello, my name is Michael Rader, and I'm excited for this is my first March for Life, and I'm just excited to march.
Oh, that's wonderful. How about you?
My name is Gavin Newell, and I just want to save babies.
That's wonderful.
Hi, I'm Jeremiah Nabla, and I'm excited to march.
Well,
and I'm excited to save babies.
Well, it's good to see so many young people down here, but we also have some adults down here and some people that everybody's familiar with. We've got the others here who are here with their children, and these people are very special to me as I got to be present with the birth of a few of their children. Tell us, is this how many times have you been down here before, and what does this March for Life mean for you guys?
Our first time, and it means so much.
Yeah, we're just really excited to march, and first time here, and really looking forward to it.
Have all these kids been behaving themselves?
Yeah, they're actually a great group of kids. They're awesome. It's been fun getting to know them all individually, and we're just having a great time, and we're very blessed.
Now, as parents of children, and I know you have some in high school and younger, What does it mean to bring your children down here and to have them experience these type of events, especially in today's culture?
Well, it really is an eye-opener for them to see the support, because in culture, popular culture, they don't see it.
Right.
It's a non-issue with society and media, and to see the number of people out here praying for babies is amazing.
Yeah.
We're just glad to be here to celebrate life, and we realize that we're really in a spiritual battle here, and we've done a lot of education with these young people on the bus, so they can speak the truth. We are ready and armed with the armor of God and praying our rosaries and ready to change the world, to take on this battle, to save lives and to heal women. There's a lot of healing to do out there, and we are preparing our next generation to heal women and to save their children.
And you're the one who organized this for St. John Newman, isn't that right?
I do. I have been organizing.
What's your name again?
Lorraine Vance.
There we go. Thank you.
Thank you
for all you're doing.
You're welcome.
And we want to thank the group from St. John Newman in Sunbury for talking with us while we were down there.
Yeah.
And they were just a very vibrant group and fun to be around. And
absolutely.
It was very nice to see all of them. After we talked with them, we walked around, and probably the next most exciting thing that we saw was there was this mass herd of blue and gold hats that came in. And this was probably 300 people wearing the same hat, at least.
It had to be more than that. Because I think there were more. I think I asked one of them, and they said there were 700.
Right.
Because this is what he's talking about is the University of Mary.
And the University of North Dakota.
Yes. And yeah. We sat and talked with them for quite a while, and I think they took the whole basically the whole university is there.
Well, they said they left about 300 back just to keep
is that
the
what
doors,
they said
to keep the doors open and the rooms heated. they had to leave some back.
And the reason why was because the University of Mary was the university that was opening up the march.
Right.
So they led the everybody in the march.
Right.
And they always pick a university to do it.
Right.
You know, Franciscan's done it, Christendom's done it, you know, Belmont Abbey, all of these various Catholic colleges. But this year it happened to be University of Mary. So, and one of the speakers on the docket was a woman from the University of Mary.
She was, and she was an excellent speaker.
She was very good.
And she got the crowd really going with her comments about, you know, the difficulties of being a college student and standing up for life and what it means to do that and to take a stand and say no more.
Yeah.
That this is the way life should be. But they were a fun group of kids, and they were just kind of like this blue and gold wave that just kind of moved around the back of the area that was
there.
You
know, and the thing of it is that that's the way all the marchers are. I mean, there's lots and lots of parish groups and lots of groups from dioceses. I mean, huge banners that you know, from Shreveport, Louisiana and Fort Wayne, Indiana and the UP of Michigan. And there, you know, and it's just like, as you watch, just like one group after another with these enormous signs, and they're chanting. And do you remember the marching band?
Oh yeah. They had a marching band with the flag corps and everything.
I've never seen that in my whole life going to the march. Yeah. And they were playing up a storm.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to watch. And we ran into a group of sisters from Massachusetts
who were standing in line for the bathroom. Yeah.
And of course the Catholic Medical Association was well represented there too with their white coats and all of that. But as the morning was going on, we got a page from a former guest of our show and somebody who has been on several times. That's Elizabeth Matheson, soon to be Dr. Elizabeth Matheson, who is one of the medical students who's been on our show in the past.
Her whole family was there.
Asking where we were. And their family has made it a tradition to go down to the March for Life, and they've been going for a number of years, starting with Elizabeth's grandmother taking them down. And then when she passed away, the family just continued that tradition, and they have a rather large family.
They got like 8 or 10 kids, and it's and Dr. Matheson, the older Dr. Matheson, is a Napper Technology OBGYN up in Vermilion.
Right.
So he has been leading the charge with his family, and it's just beautiful to see their whole family there.
It was interesting to talk to another physician and soon to be physician about the changes that they might expect to see with any reform or repeal of Obamacare, and what that meant for them as physicians, and how that might impact the way they're practicing. But I forgot to mention that right before we you know, met with them, we saw Mike O'Day.
Mike O'Day from Christus Medicus and Cura Foundation. And he introduced us to the illustrious Lewis Brown, who has been on, who's always doing commercials on St. Gabriel, it seems. I had never met him, so it was a pleasure to meet him. We saw him over by the media tent, though.
Yes, we did. And he, had, he was trying to find his passes to get in and everything else. But, you know, I don't know if we have a clip from our interview with Mike, but if we do, we'll definitely post that with the show. But Mike was very excited about the changes that might happen, especially with regards to the conscience clause.
Yeah, he had a lot of very, very poignant things to have to say because he's very, very well connected with the legislators from Michigan.
Well, so. And he's had a number of meetings with congressional leaders in Washington, including Representative Fortenberry from Kansas, about getting the conscience protection laws or conscience protection acts passed through Congress. It was passed through the House and Senate last time, but of course it was vetoed at the president's desk, and they didn't have enough people to override the veto. But they're very hopeful that this year they can get the same bill passed, and this time they have a president who will sign,
it. Right.
And
yeah.
So we're hoping that within the first 100 days that will be passed through both houses of Congress and enacted by the president. And I think that's extremely important to all Catholic physicians, but it should be important to all physicians.
Well, they're bandying about what that conscience, executive order would look like. And I know it's been leaked to the press and things like that. But the bottom line is we have a sympathetic ear in the White House, and that's a great blessing. You know, what was interesting is now when we started, you know, after the pump up and the dance, mosh pit and everything like that, then Jeannie Mancini, who's been on our show as well, the organizer of the March for Life, came on and started to introduce the speakers.
Right.
And Kellyanne Conway was the leadoff hitter.
Well, they had quite a number of good speakers on the dais this year, and you're right. Kellyanne Conway came out, and she really got the crowd going. Her first quote to start was just, you know, "I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a Catholic, and I'm a counselor to the President of the United States, and I am pro-life."
Yep.
And she went on to, you know, set the tone for the, for the rally. And the rally message this year is why we walk.
Right.
You know, but it almost took on a different tone of a new dawn for life.
Right.
And that's actually the mood that you felt when you walked around the March for Life this year, that there was a new dawn. It was a new era. It was a new opportunity for the life movement to really have a say in what's going on.
Really blossom, really take root. And you know, with the new Supreme Court justice that President Trump has nominated, Neil Gorsuch, and potentially maybe even more, this could have very, very long-reaching ramifications as a result.
But one of the other things that she said that really struck a note with me was that, you know, we need to stand up, stand tall together against the indifferences and the undefensible for the babies and those who are in the womb, for the most indefensible. We need to stand up, stand strong, and stand tall and stand together.
Yeah.
And that really got the crowd, you know, just cheering for a good 30 seconds to a minute. And it set the tone of her message, and people were very excited to see her talk. She was the face of the campaign for President Trump, other than himself.
She was
probably the second most common name that you would hear associated with that. And so it was very interesting to note that she said, you know, that she has the president's ear and that president is listening to us.
Yeah. He didn't even know. I mean, that's the amazing thing that we found out when we were down there, that President Trump had no idea about the march when he was in the Oval Office and looking at the video clips of the women's march, and Vice President Pence came into him and said, "Hey, you know, there's a march next week." And he's like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "No, there's a march next week for the March for Life."
Right.
And Vice President Pence, who, and I don't want to steal our thunder in the next segment, but he came in and said, you know, I've been to this march. It's amazing. And we need to have a presence there. And he said, well, then you're it.
Right.
So tag, you're going.
Right. Well, and, you know, at every March for Life, they have a number of congressional leaders who stand up on the platform just to be recognized that they right. fight for us with life.
Chris Smith
always speaks. And, yep. and this year we had some others that we'll talk about in a little bit. But Mike Pence has been to these rallies before
yep.
and stood up there on the platform as those who represented life when he was a congressman from the state Indiana. Of Indiana
right.
before he became the governor of Indiana and my brother's neighbor.
But, which shuts off all your cell phones.
Yeah, it does. So, you know, Kellyanne Conway really started the day off right. But this yeah. crowd, you and I both remarked, and we posted some pictures on Twitter. Just in the area that we were in, it was pretty well packed.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you're packed in with sardines.
If you looked all the way around at the people who couldn't get in because there just wasn't enough time, they were up around the Washington Monument. They were out on Pennsylvania
sea
Avenue.
Of
they
people.
Were all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was,
I mean, and the funny thing is that, okay, because you had to go through security in order to get in to the area where the speeches were being delivered, there were so many people who couldn't get in, and they thought, like, you know, as the University of Mary started the parade, there were people in front of them because they didn't even know how they were going to, you know, they just joined in without, you know, getting through security.
Right. Right.
It was unreal.
There's a lot more to talk about with the rally, and we want to talk about one of the most exciting things there, and that is Vice President Pence's talk, the first vice president ever to address the March for Life, and we'll do that when we come back from this brief break.
The Catholic Medical Association supports your right to know. The birth control pill has been available for over 50 years. When it was released to market in 1960, it was thought to be the miracle drug that would free women's lives and improve family life. However, the pill has major side effects for the woman, such as weight gain, depression, stroke, and heart attack. Modern methods of natural family planning are more than 95% effective and have no harmful effects on the woman or her marriage. To learn more about natural family planning, visit cathmed.org.
We're back here at the March for Life with two special people who have been guests on our show, soon to be Dr. Elizabeth Matheson and her dad, Jim Matheson. Welcome to the Catholic Doctor Show, and welcome to Washington, D.C.
Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Dr.
Nice
Parker.
To see you.
It's good to
it's
see
a
you, too.
Sunny day.
Out of
it's
all
March.
These thousands of people who are coming in here, we're down at the rally right now. We're about maybe 20 or 30 yards from the main stage. It's incredible to run
them?
Into you guys.
Well, as a young woman, I want to stand up for the lives of unborn little girls and boys, and also for the women who are being harmed by abortion, who don't have a voice in our country as much as being broadcasted right now.
Well, that's a great cause to be down here for. And Jim, you're down here with your whole family?
Well, this has been a family trip for us for the longest time. My wife's mother passed away 14 years ago, and she was a true pro-life warrior. She would come down here every year, and then was a huge pro-life advocate in Youngstown, Ohio, where she lived. And after she passed away, we kind of took over the
took over the mantle.
Yeah, and we've been coming down every year. It's a pretty special trip for us.
Now, both of you as physicians, how do you see things changing for medicine now that we've been told the Affordable Care Act is going to change? And as Catholic physicians in particular, do you feel kind of less of a burden in what you're going to be able to do as physicians?
Well, I'm not sure how things are going to change with regard to health insurance, but I think just being able to maintain our religious beliefs and practice the way we want to practice is going to be significant. You don't have to worry about somebody breathing down your throat and saying, hey, you can't do this or that. You can practice the way you believe. What's going to happen with insurance? Who knows? I mean, I think that's really confusing and up in the air.
It's a big mystery.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, and I think for all of us, that's probably not our number one cause. It's more or less our conscience that we want to be able to work under. Well, we want to thank you both for being on the Catholic Doctor Show. And Elizabeth, we wish you luck. Do we know where you might be in the future years?
Not yet. We find out on St. Patrick's Day where we'll spend the next 3 years.
St. Patrick, pray for us, right?
Yep.
Welcome back to the special edition of the Catholic Doctors Show with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turk. We hope you enjoyed your conference today. You just heard a clip from Drs. Matheson, who we met up with at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. And we're continuing with our rundown of our experience at the March for Life this year. And the highlight of the march for almost everybody there was the second speaker. And that was the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence.
Yeah, that was pretty big. It was really cute how his wife introduced him. That was adorable, actually.
Well, you see the closeness of their family. Their daughter Charlotte was there, and his wife mm-hmm. was there. And he actually was, for the first time in 41 years, 44 years?
Yeah, how long has it been going on? 44.
4 years.
44.
He is the first vice president to address the March for Life.
Yeah, others have done by video and sent messages and sent lower level, you know, people. But this was the first time, I mean, that we've had somebody who, you know, I mean, God forbid something happens to Trump, this guy's going to be ascending the throne. So that's pretty cool.
The funny thing was is that they forgot to do the beginning invocation.
Right, the prayer had to go to...
The prayer by Cardinal Dolan. Because of all the security that was back there, they couldn't get Cardinal Dolan up to the stage. And I think there was a Byzantine priest and a Greek Orthodox priest and a number of other people to come up for the prayer. They couldn't get him up there. And we saw all around... You know, snipers on the buildings. And Secret Service was throughout the crowd and all around. And so the security was very high. But it led to some interesting moments where Jeannie Mancini actually had to act like a cheerleader.
Yeah.
To keep the crowd going.
I say pro, you say life. Pro life.
Yeah, we are the pro-life generation. nice commercial for a soda pop.
That's right.
You know, I do have to say this. You and I woke up to a rumor that President Trump was coming.
That was rumored by some of my military friends who were we're getting the buzz that Trump is going to show up himself. And we're like, oh.
But then we got down to the hotel lobby and we realized, oh, the Prime Minister of Great Britain is going to be here today.
Right. I don't think that's happening. Yeah, he's not going
to. But he did personally ask Mike Pence, the Vice President of the United States, to show up at the rally and to represent him there. And Mike Pence gave a very inspiring speech. And you know, the quote of the day is, life is winning again in America.
That's right. And a close second was the one that at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, we're in the promise-keeping business, right?
Right. So, I mean, when he came up there and said those words, how did that make you feel?
Well, I was elated. I was like, my gosh, this is the moment we've been waiting for 44 years since Roe versus Wade passed.
Right. I think that was... He summed up the sentiment of almost everybody we talked about, talked to there.
Oh, yeah. You know? I mean, imagine if Nellie Gray, who originated the march, you know, back with like 30 people in 1973, okay, if she had been alive to see this day, I don't think she would been able to contain herself.
Right. But
just unbelievable.
He did talk about the agenda for the administration, their pro-life cause. They'd already reenacted the Mexico City policy and actually made it stronger.
Yeah.
By not allowing any funding to foreign aid agencies that promoted or made for abortion.
Yeah.
They'd also talked about appointing a Supreme Court justice who was a constitutionalist and originalist.
It was also rumored that they were going to mention it at the march. And I thought, well, okay, that would be a big stuff if they did.
We all know that the media... A mogul Trump was not going to take his thunder and give it to the March for Life.
No,
we knew that wasn't going to happen.
No,
but we heard it from Vice President Pence, but also from a number of the congressional leaders that were there. The ending of taxpayer funding of abortion and abortion providers, and to take that money and provide it to caregivers for women's health.
Yeah, federally qualified health centers that are all over the country that do not perform abortions and that are taking care of people who are in impoverished neighborhoods and things like that, where Planned Parenthood plants themselves.
Right.
You know, so it was a shot in the arm for those people who are in the trenches really doing the work that Christ sent them there to do.
Right. And it it goes to a point that the pro-choice movement has made, is that if you stop defunding for Planned Parenthood, you don't have enough people to see all these women,
right,
who need care, the pap smears, the mammograms, the contraceptive screening, whatever it is that they do,
right,
which we know is a lie.
Well,
because
yeah.
if you take $900 million and you put it into federally qualified health care centers, or you distribute that among people who are going to provide real health care for women, health care that empowers women to make choices that are healthy for them and lead to life, not only for themselves but for their children, you're going to have these centers pop up all over the place.
And they'll be better funded, and they'll be better able to do the work that they're set there to do. Now, what I found interesting is that in this discussion of defunding Planned Parenthood is that in the wake of the march, Lila Rose, a former guest on our show with Live Action, has put out a series of new videos talking about and audio clips talking about the fact that Planned Parenthood does know mammograms. They right. send people out for that. They do know prenatal care. They do not do these things. And in fact, they've reiterated in some of their videos that Cecile Richards had said that on congressional record, that they do not do these things.
Right.
You know?
And so you know, it lifted the crowd to hear those words and to know that they were dead serious about getting these things done.
Yeah.
Another great quote from Vice President Pence is that society is judged by the way we care for our most vulnerable.
That's right.
The elderly, the infirmed, the unborn.
And it's a very, very Catholic concept, but Christian concept. Right. Absolutely.
But in stark contrast to what you heard a week before, it was compassion over convenience, hope defeating despair.
Right.
Life is winning in America again.
Yeah.
He was able to, in very few words, contrast the message that was being held there that day with the message that was held a week ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it said a lot to the people that were there. These are many people who voted for the administration to come in, maybe not because of who Trump was, but because of what the alternative was.
Right.
To be there. So the rest of the day was, we had your obligatory, you know, Jody Ernst from a senator from Iowa and Chris
Smith
yeah. from New Jersey were there talking
with
about
all the congressional
leaders.
Exactly.
Right? And some of our leaders from Ohio. I know Jim Jordan was there,
mm-hmm.
Were there on the stage and they, you know, reassured us that these bills were going to be going through. They were introducing them the next Monday, that these things would be going. We're not going to hear about them because there's too much controversy going on
right.
at that time. We didn't hear too much about it. But after that, Mia Love gave a great talk.
Mia Love is a daughter of Haitian immigrants right. and the first congressperson from Utah, black Republican congressperson from Utah.
Right.
And she gave a very rousing speech talking about a young couple who came from Haiti, and we had no idea. In fact, I'm at least from the interviews that I heard from Jeannie Mancini, I don't think this speech had ever been given.
No,
she had never told this story before.
No, but her message was, and I think this is so true, we cannot accept what might have been.
Right.
We can no longer accept the carnage of our talent, of our hopes, and of our dreams, of the ability of these people to accomplish in a society such as America that is open to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, we cannot accept what might have been. That was her message throughout her speech.
But the whole buildup was toward, you know, she had been, when she her mother was pregnant with her, she was the last of her siblings, that they wanted her to abort.
Right.
And she said, thank God she didn't, because, and the last line was, now I'm the, 41 years later, I stand here as the first black Republican congressman from Utah.
Congressperson from Utah.
You know, and it brought down the house.
Right.
It was unreal.
Yeah. You know, other speakers that were there, Ben Watson, tight end for the Baltimore Ravens.
That was great.
The former Cleveland Browns.
and
he gave a great speech. Ouch. As a father.
Of five children.
Yeah. And as a Christian and as a pro athlete, where, you know, more and more sports is being politicized, and it's being politicized towards more of a liberal speaking bent.
Yep.
To take a stand like that can sometimes be difficult, and for him to do that, it was great. We were able to say
he was really indicting. He was like, "Look, men, we have to stand up
right.
for women because right. this is our call."
Right.
And it was very well done. We had a chance to talk to him after.
Right. We're not allowed to interview him, but we did get a chance to just say talk to him and thank him for his speech.
Yep.
But probably one of the funniest, quickest, and best speeches.
Oh man, it was a hit and
was
run.
At the end. Was Eric Metaxas?
That was unreal.
And his talk just had the crowd just ready to go.
The highlight of that one was him getting the entire March for Life to pray for Madonna.
That's right.
That was unbelievable. He said, "We follow a Savior who tells us to pray for our enemies. So let's all bow our heads in prayer."
Right, and everybody there prayed for Madonna and for Katie Kirk and for everybody else. But, you know, while I've thought about blowing up Madonna's house, I don't because I follow a Lord and Savior who tells me not to do these things, pray for my enemies.
And the thing was that it wasn't, yes, there was a lot of jest and there was a lot of humor, but he was serious.
He was very serious.
He was serious. As a committed Christian, we should be praying for our enemies. We should be praying for those people who are on the opposite side of this issue. And and Abby Johnson brought her whole army of women that she, former guest of ours, who brought out and does continue to bring out Planned Parenthood workers out of the abortion industry.
The army of quitters, as they were called.
That's it.
They were there.
It was unreal.
And Abby Johnson, who's been on the show multiple times, was there, and she is currently pregnant with twins.
She is.
And has probably had her twins by now that you're listening to this show.
And at the women's march was apparently knocked down by some marchers.
She was not treated nicely, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, afterwards, everybody was just revved up and ready to go.
Oh, yeah. And they brought those rappers out again, and everybody's going bananas.
Right.
It was nuts.
And so we all marched out onto, I believe it's Pennsylvania Avenue.
Constitution.
And, you know, it was hard to get in.
Oh.
You and I had to walk on the sidewalk for a little bit before we could kind of move in.
Fortunately, we could get some food there, too.
Everywhere I went, there was a Dominican.
I think you are a Dominican magnet.
Well, St. Patrick's Church here in Columbus, there's quite a few. There were some that I would have liked to have seen that I was not able to see. They either weren't there or I couldn't find them.
Yeah.
But I did run into several that I knew from St. Patrick's Church or through my daughter being in the Dominican Order briefly. You know, it was great to see them.
Oh, yeah.
And they're a good witness to everybody there, but they were just all over the place. But we got kind of towards the front.
Yeah.
And there really wasn't a lot of protest out there this year.
No.
There was one group out there telling us we were all going to hell and that we were sinners.
Yeah, the fundamentalists were out in force. But,
the Catholic Church believed in abortion.
Honestly, in the past, I've seen a half a dozen women with, you know, keep your rosaries off my ovaries and all that sort of stuff. They're usually standing on a park bench and they, you know, take the stragglers who are willing to talk to them. But this year I was shocked to see nothing
there really wasn't much there.
The ones that said the Whore of Babylon, Catholic Church. So, but you know,
they were roundly booed by almost everybody
who came by. They were.
The march, it took us about an hour and a half, longer to get up there. But we talked to one man who was there for his first march, and his comment to
us. Indiana.
Indiana. He's down in Evansville, Indiana. One thing he said to us is, you know, this is my first march, but I hope it's my last. I hope we don't ever have to do this again.
Yeah.
Because of what can happen.
Yeah.
And he says, but even if everything does go our way, we need to continue this.
We should have a party.
As a party and as a celebration of
life.
And he was great to speak to and gave a great perspective. And he was probably my age or maybe a little bit younger.
Yep.
But he was there with his daughter and his family, and just the the sheer emotion that came across him from being a part of that size of a crowd.
He was, I mean, he was very overcome, you know.
Right.
He's an average guy. I mean, he, you know, guys don't like to cry. This guy was like on the verge of tears talking about this.
It was very nice. Yeah. And this happens throughout the march where you just get conversations going with people and everybody's got a special reason for being there.
Yeah.
So we get up to the top of the hill and you look back. And there's still people at the beginning of the march.
Massive amounts of people.
And so after looking back and seeing the massive crowd that still had to come up this way, we look up over and we're at the Russell Senate building.
Right.
And you say to me, hey, look up there.
There's seminarians from Columbus. Yeah. They're hanging off the arm rail. I'm like, look, we got to go up there. So we walk up there and they're taking all the folks from St. Peter's.
In Chillicothe
and Washington Courthouse, St. Coleman, they're all there. There's a whole bunch of them.
And they were from another parish down there also.
Right.
It'll be in the clip when we play it here in just a minute. But they were up there taking their picture. And so we are able to talk with that group when we got up to the top of the hill. And Father Michael Harchie was with that group. And I know Father Michael from when he was a seminarian.
Father Hahn was there too.
Father Hahn was there.
Yeah.
And so it was good to see another group from Columbus, and we got to talk to them about what they were doing at the March for Life and what their experience had been. And we'll listen to a clip from that group right now.
Well, one good thing is, too, like for the St. Coleman's Washington Courthouse kids, it's the first time that many of them got to march. You know, we went last year, had to go home before the march because of the snow and everything.
Right.
So this year, I mean, the weather's been really cooperating well, but to see, like, the universal church here and to have the kids, like, see all these different religious congregations, different religious orders, you know, all kinds of, you know, parishes from all over the country, really see the universal church speaking up for, you know, for children who have no voice.
Yeah.
Speaking up for people who are just missing informed, you know, about the horrible effects of abortion, the regret like that women have to live with, and the loss of life like a whole generation. So certainly a lot to be sad about, but the thousands of people that we can see, you know, look back off of Capitol Hill and see, it gives us a lot of hope. You know,
All right, I'm gonna put you on the spot here, so Father. Yeah. All right, how many people do you think are actually crowded into Washington D.C. for this march right now?
A thousand. Hundreds of thousands.
Wait a minute, this isn't CNN. This isn't CNN.
No, hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, that's as far as I can see.
I mean, you know, 400,000, 500,000,
a
billion.
To say. Well, we heard it. Yeah, we heard in the beginning that it was a record crowd. So maybe 500,000 plus, I hope.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
so,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we got a seminarian here for us. Hey. Come on, Michael. Get in here.
How's it going? This is seminarian Mike Fulton from St. John Newman Parish in Sunbury, Ohio.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
We ran into the St. John Newman crowd earlier today.
Yeah. I keep running into them. So you can go to Washington, D.C. amid a million people, and you still run into Catholics that you know.
That's
right. It shows that the Catholic Church may be universal, but it's still very small, and you get to know everyone.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So what was your favorite part of the march?
Oh, well, I didn't get to hear any of the speakers. I didn't get to see too many people, but still, just being amid our entire country, no matter what their faith, no matter what their beliefs, we're all here united to affirm that life is sacred conception to natural death and everywhere in between.
So were you not able to get in because of security, because of the throng of people that showed up?
Oh, no, you couldn't get close enough.
It was a mob, wasn't it?
It was a mob. There's so many people. It's not a mob. We've seen so many.
Well, mob has a bad connotation. So, all right, we have some other folks here. Come on, guys. Tell who you are and where you're from.
My name is Luke Davis. I am from Chillicothe St. Peter's Church in Ohio.
Okay, and what is about this year's march that really excited you? Was there anything different about this year's march? Have you ever been here before?
This is my first march that I got to go on the march itself. Last year we had to leave before the march because of the snowstorm, but the march itself is probably my favorite part out of all. To see like all the people collaborating in one place for one reason was really eye-opening and beautiful.
Did you guys get to go around to any of the other activities that were going on around the city throughout the week?
Rallies and all that stuff, masses.
Last year and this year, we went to the main mass yesterday.
Okay. And were there a lot of people there?
Yes, a lot of people.
That's always wonderful to see. And we have somebody else here who wants to tell us who she is and about her march.
Hi, I'm Michaela Mamoni. I am from St. Peter's Catholic Church in Chillicothe. And this year, I was astonished by the amount of people that there were. We have been on the march several times. And
so you're a veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been here. This is my sixth year coming to the march.
So you knew what to wear.
Yes.
You knew how to dress.
Yes.
And you knew what shoes to wear, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The shoes
good.
Were very, very important.
Yeah.
I love people walking in high heels. I was like, they're crazy. My feet would be killing me. But I was just really excited. Like I got pumped up during the march and seeing like all the thousands of people that we are surrounded by and like going and like hearing some part of the rally. And it was really, really extraordinary.
And we want to thank the group from Chillicothe for talking to us and allowing us to take them away
and
from
don't
their picture.
Don't forget Washington Courthouse.
Washington Courthouse.
They were
Chillicothe.
All there.
It was a well-represented group. They probably had about 40 or 50 people there.
Oh, yeah.
But I liked what Father Michael Harchie said. It was the whole universal church walking up this way.
Converged on Washington, D.C. And, you know, it was so nice to see so many collars. I mean, just random, you know, cassocks wandering around. I mean, it would have been an easy place to get a confession heard.
Right.
You know, or get anointed, you know, just in case you drop dead. It would have been a good place for that.
Yeah, but we didn't have many people do that.
No, thank God. Well, there are a lot of youth.
It is, but you know what it is? It's even more than that. It's that you see the religious interacting with all these people.
Yeah.
And you know, the way we get more religious is for those people to see the religious in their lives and to see what their lives are about and how they go about their lives and what they do. And they see that being religious is cool.
Faith in action.
Yeah. And that they're just like regular people most of the time. They just take different paths in their lives and taking different vows.
Right.
Than we have. But it's a calling to be to look forward to if you receive it.
Yeah.
And if you continue on, then great. So we saw them at the Russell Senate building. I think I called it something different when we were up there. But
There's a Rayburn building and a Russell building.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
I was mistaken.
That's all right.
And we thought we might try to get into Senator Portman's office, but the line,
because
of security, again.
And because of all the people from Florida who are standing there and waiting, it was, oh, my gosh, you couldn't hardly get, and I thought maybe you might have some good food.
Well, they might have, but we never got in.
So
we decided not to. So we walked over to the Supreme Court building, and at the Supreme Court building, we ran into a lot of people we saw, but one of them was Brother Humbert, who is in the Order of Preachers.
That's right.
He's a deacon with the permanent deacon with the Order of Preachers, and soon to be ordained.
From Columbus.
He went to school at Ohio State University and it was a member of St. Patrick's Church.
What does he have, a PhD in math or something?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a great guy.
He's a bright guy.
He's a friend of our family.
Yeah, he's a bright guy.
If you ask him what day you were born on, all you have to do is give him the date and he'll tell you.
Holy crap.
He can just do it in his brain. He's extremely intelligent.
That's unbelievable.
And so you have to really appreciate that.
Yeah.
But we were able to interview him after the show because the Dominican House of Studies is in Washington, D.C., and so the Dominican brothers are there every year. So he was able to give us an analysis of what this rally was like compared to the other rallies that were there.
He's been there
so
a while.
Let's listen to the clip from Brother Humbert with the Dominican Order in Washington, D.C., outside the Supreme Court building.
And there's always a good Dominican presence here at the march.
Oh, definitely. So our House of Studies always comes out in full force, but we have so many different groups, like from our parishes. St. Patrick's in Columbus had a group. St. Gertrude's Cincinnati. Providence College had their largest number of students ever.
That's fantastic. And for those of you who don't know, Brother Humbert is from the Columbus area. He was a member of St. Patrick's Parish when he was a student at Ohio State University. So he's got a nice Central Ohio connection.
Definitely.
Well, brother, now from a Dominican perspective, since there's a Dominican show on St. Gabriel Radio, what's your Dominican opinion of this March for Life?
I can tell that there's definitely more enthusiasm this year.
Uh-huh.
I think it's because now we have this feeling that we can get more of an effect. Like we already saw last week, in his first week in office, President Trump brought back Mexico City policy. We've seen the House of Representatives passing H.R. 7 to defund Planned Parenthood. There's definitely a lot of progress being made in the pro-life movement as we speak. And so this march is building off of that energy, and we can tell that that's it's actually having an effect now.
Now, all right. All seriousness aside,
yeah.
Would St. Thomas Aquinas agree? Would he approve of all of this merriment and craziness going on?
Of course, yeah. There's the virtue of Eutropolia, having playfulness, having a joyful spirit, and even something like a political protest. That's something that strikes me every year. It's the most joyful political protest, most joyful, most peaceful protest I've ever seen, and it's the largest crowd too. So it's St. Thomas would definitely be happy about it. Yeah,
I think the only thing we saw burning on this trip was a falafel out of one of the food trucks.
Yeah.
So, no, it's been a great, and the march is ending up here right now. We've got the last groups coming through. It's taken several hours for this crowd to move all the way up from the down near the Washington Monument all the way up here to the Supreme Court building. And it's been fun to be down here. And Brother Humbert, thank you for joining us here on the Catholic Doctors Show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, I want to thank Brother Humbert again for speaking to us while we were there. And I think he gives a good summary of what this rally was like. It was outstanding and inspiring. And, you know, it's a new dawn for life in America.
Yeah, it was just it was just way more than I ever expected it to be. In light of the fact that I've been to these marches before, and they're exciting, and they're youthful, and they're exuberant, and they're a lot of things, you know. I mean, you got Spanish speakers, you know, chanting stuff in Spanish. You got folks walking around yelling the rosary with a bullhorn.
Right.
You got, I mean, it's like, I don't know. This is the way I described it in the past. It's like a Catholic circus.
Right.
You know?
But it's a Christian circus, you know.
Well, we're not the only people there, of course. Right. I mean, I would never say that.
But the band played, and it was over.
Yeah,
and literally, the band played.
Yeah,
and fortunately for me, that band had bagpipers.
I know.
I almost went up and grabbed a pair.
You're pretty excited about
playing,
that. I remember.
it was nice. So, you know, for me, what was interesting was to be standing in an area where you knew so much activity was going to be taking place in the next few days, the next few weeks, the next few months,
mm-hmm.
that are going to really impact life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And get life to the forefront again.
Yeah.
It truly was a stark contrast to the anger and hatred and malice and everything else that you heard and saw from the rally that was there a week before, to really a message of, as Vice President Pence said, compassion
and
help and understanding and love that was really at this rally this year.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the thing of it is that, you know, every speaker without fail throughout the whole day was very adamant in saying, yes, we love babies. Absolutely. From conception until birth, we love babies, and we don't want anybody to take the life of a baby. But we love mothers, too.
Right.
And we want them to know the love and compassion that we have in our hearts for you. And so that's the thing, is that we don't condemn. We don't, you know, punish. We don't want that for mothers who've made this choice. And the Silent No More people were out in force in front of the Supreme Court giving their testimonies. And that's always I always find that to be a beautiful thing. They're standing in front of the Supreme Court, and they have to be loud in order to get out their message about how they regret their abortions.
Right. Well, as Kellyanne Conway said, it truly is a new dawn for life, and it was exciting to be a part of it with this year's rally. And we hope that everyone will continue to support the life movement that is gaining steam, and to, you know, become more active in the life movement. And we hope, as you're leaving your conferences today, that you've been inspired to take on more of your faith and to become more involved in your faith and to develop that relationship with Jesus Christ that really drives you to being pro-life.
Because that's what we're about. We're about the Lord's love, and we're about spreading it to each other.
I came to give you life and give it to you abundantly.
John chapter 10, verse 10.
Well, we want to thank you again for joining us on this special edition of the Catholic Doctors Show. Until the next time we're on the air, we hope your life is happy, healthy, and holy.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com.
than any sun.